Okay, we are picking up on the top of Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. Our learning is once again sponsored the Nishmas Shalamis Pasakov, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. So the Gemara is continuing with the Hamshech of the Brice. So the Brice is continuing to discuss what exactly happened when Klal Yisrael crossed the Yarden. The Brice says, "V'kemen shenitbelu ragle kohanim b'mayim chazra mayim lachareim." So when the feet of the Kohanim were carrying the Aron, they went in the water. So the water somehow miraculously went backwards. Shenemar uchavo nosei aron ari yarden v'yamdu amayim yardim l'malak kimo neid echad. People were holding the aron, arrived at the yarden, and the kohanim went in the water. So then the waters had gone from going upstream, and they rose into one shura, let's say, one column. So this is what happened as soon as the kohanim had stepped into the river. So the water that was flowing towards them from the upstream stopped and didn't pass them. So the water then after that went in a column that seems to go up and down. The kohanim remained there until the people across the Yarden. So how high was this water before it went to the normal way that it was flowing normally? Shnei masar mil k'neged machane Yisrael divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda understands that when the Klal Yisrael crossed the Yarden, the Shvatim did not follow one another in a straight line. Rather, they went in the way, which we're going to see in Anamad Beis, the way which they were, which they had camped. So we know that the entire Machane Yisrael was 12 mil by 12 mil. The Gemara and Avram mentioned that, because that might be a Rosh Hashanah Del Reisa. That also might be the amount of a Tchum Shabbos Min Del Reisa. Okay, those are 12 mil are important halachas. So, but it comes out that the time that would be between the first people going in and the last people leaving is it would be the time it take to go travel 12 mil. So based on this, Rabbi Yehuda's understanding that the water also went 12 mil because he assumes the water moved the same speed roughly as the people. The Gemara is going to ask a question on that in a moment, but that's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. To which Rabbi Shimon, Amar lo, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, said to him, L'dvarecha, but according to you, Adam kal or mayim kalim, which one is quicker to go, water or person? Havi Amar mayim, mayim goes water. You know, water in a river goes very fast. In kind by mayim v'shot v'nosan. If that's the case, the water would make people drown because the currents of the water are definitely quicker than a person, and it would take a person longer to travel 12 mil than the water to come the same distance. So therefore, the water would come tumbling down, and it would sweep everyone up, which obviously didn't happen. Ela melabet chayu mayim nigdashin va'oilin. The waters were going even higher than you say of 12 mil. Keepin agabi keepin. We have that lesson of the keepin with regards to like the arches that they built by the in Har Zesim in order to make sure that people stay tahor. So anyway, so that's it. Literally means it's a keepin is literally an arch, but it means a wave. Like it's a wave looks like an arch when it's up and down. So it's a wave on top of a wave. Yes, sir. Mishlosha mil is mil. The height of more than 300 mil. Wow, 300 mil is like up to the sky. So Achiro Osan Komalche Mizrach Marav, until all the kings of the east and the west they saw them. Shenemar Veichishmal Komalche Amori Asher Be'ever Yarden Yam Avachomalke Nakanesher Ala Yam Asher Hoivish Hashem Esmei Yarden Bipnei Bnei Israel Ad Ovram. So then they were on the western side of the Yarden, and all the Knanim who were by the sea, they heard that Hashem had dried up the waters of the Yarden, and they got very scared. Vayamas Lavavim Veloya Bam Od Ruach Bnei Bnei Israel. And they didn't have any koyach to be able to fight Klal Yisrael at that point. Rachav Azona Amr L'Shlucha Yeshua. Rachav also said to Yeshua, she said, Ki Shamanu Es Asher Hovish Hashem Mei Yamsuf, that we heard about what happened in the waters of the Yamsuf. We heard about it. Our hearts literally were melting, meaning we're sort of terrified, and we had no koyach. We had no koyach to continue. So this is a very fascinating point, why the Gemara B'chol is bringing this up, because Rachav had nothing to do with she didn't mention anything to do with the crossing of the Yarden. Her words were mentioned even before the miracle had even happened. So this is very difficult to understand. So the Marashah gives an answer. He says that we bring this up in order to show us that the Kananim wouldn't become afraid of something just about hearing it unless they witnessed it themselves. Aye, so where do they see the witnessing of the Yamsuf? That's the Rashi, quotes in Chumash, the Midrash, the Shemos Rabbah, which tells us that not just the Yamsuf split, but all the waters in the world split. So everybody should know that specifically when Klal Yisrael came in to the Yamsuf, that's what happened. And that's why they were extremely, extremely fearful of what happened, because they knew about this special miracle. And here, we're assuming that they saw the miracle. Odam beYarden, Amar lam Yeshua. So here they were still in the Yarden, and Yeshua said to them, "Du alma atem overim es Yarden. Why are you crossing the Yarden? What condition is Hashem letting you cross? Amanat shetarishu es Yeshua haaretz b'nechem. On the condition that you will drive out the people who live there. You have to live this in the pasuk. Shenemar v'rashim es kol Yeshua haaretz b'nechem. You should drive them out, and if you don't, it's going to be letzikim b'nechem. They're going to be." You know, they're going to be not pleasant to have them there. Imatim osike mutav, if you do this, that'll be good. Vimlav, ba'o mayim v'shot v'neschem, not, the water's going to come and destroy you. It's a very similar parallel in many ways, obviously, to mayim at Har Sinai there also, where Hashem put it over them in the Yamsuf, the whole process of coming to mayim at Har Sinai, coming towards Israel. That was, Hashem was warning them also, by kafar lem kahar kagigi, so he uprooted the mountain and put it over their head to warn them here also. Hashem was saying, I'm going to make the water go over if you don't accept this tonight. My oschem, what's the lashon of oschem? Apparently, they had the writing as aleph vav saf yud ches mem oschem, which could mean as osichem, which would be a combination of the word, a compound word of osiv eschem, me and you. That if I don't accept this condition, also I'm going to drown. I'm no different than you guys. I'm the same category, and I need to accept upon myself to do this as well. Odam, maybe that's also why he was punished so exceptionally by I. Because he wasn't fighting properly. Odam biyarden amar lahem Yeshua harimu lachem ish evan achas al shechmo lemispar shifte bnei Yisrael. He said to everyone should take a stone upon his shoulder to the 12 stones corresponding to 12 shvatim. Chsev lamanti azoyis ospik abechem kishon b'nechem machar lemar. Ma avanim ailo lachem. What are these stones over here? You're going to answer. Sibar. It's a sign that the children, that the fathers had crossed the Yarden in a miracle. And they had a big nace occur to them, and therefore these were placed by the river to remember this everlasting memorial for the miracle that had occurred. Odam biyarden amar lan Yeshua. They still the yard. Yeshua said to them, "Se'u lachem mizeh mitoch yarden matzav ragla kohanim hechin 12 avanim. You should carry from there 12 stones. Evartim osam imachem v'inachem osam b'malon asher talinu bo alayla. Should bring them across with you and set the places there this night. That's what you should put them." So that night, El Gilgal, they were put into a formal monument type of structure that they put, so they should see what they were. So then the Gemara continues in the Brisa Yachal B'chol Mala, and they should be put in every place where they were staying the night. Hamalomar Sher Talina B'Laila, only where you were that night. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Tachlif Der B'Lazar Masya V'Chanina Ben Chanichai. Amdu Laso Navanim V'Shiarim Kolachas V'Achash Kulik Arba'im Sa. Each one measured 40 Sa. Wow. A saw is a heavy, heavy weight. We're talking about extremely heavy, heavy things. They were able to carry that amount. So the Gemara says, that we have a mesora. We have a mesora. I guess Torah Shabbat Peh. Usually, it's a halacha Moshe Rabbeinu. Even maybe that we have a mesora that a person is able to lift up on his shoulder 1/3 of the weight that he is able to support if others are helping him to load it on. So therefore, each one was capable of carrying a stone of 120 sas. So here we could actually, this is a parenthetical point, which is actually going to lead us to the whole next Amud, is the point that the Gemara is pointing out. From here, we can calculate how big was the cluster of grapes that the spies were carrying when they returned to Eretz Yisrael from their mission. So the Gemara says, Shenemar v'yisav emot b'shtay. And they carried it with a pole by two people. If it says they're carrying it with a pole, so obviously they're carrying it. You know, Deash Bishtaim had to be carried by two people. You can't have one person. By Yisu, they're carrying it in the plural. So it says that two people were carrying this pole, and they were carrying this item. Matamar Bishtaim. So what does it mean by two? Bishnei motos. It means that they were carrying with two poles. Amri Yitzchak Torneva Tornesa Tornisa. There was a load and another load under another load. Meaning, he learns from over here that really, essentially, there was going to be four poles, and I think it comes out right, four poles. And those four poles were carried each by two people. Two, 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 and two. Two, 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 and two. That's eight, right? Exactly. And there was eight people who were carrying them. That's how he understands it. That Haketesh Shmona Nasu Eshkol, because eight people were carrying this huge cluster of grapes. Echad Nasu Rimon. One of them was taking a Rimon. None of them, but Echad Nasu Te'in. As the Pasuk says, Vayavah Nachal Eshkol Vayechusum Hashem's Mora Ve'eshkol Navim Echad Ve'esumot Bishtayim Minu Mera Minu Minu Te'inim. They also took with themselves. They took not just the grapes, but they had taken as well, they had taken a fig and a pomegranate. So there was two people that, and there's now there's 10, I was two more left, or about 12. Yoshua v'kalev lo nesu klum. They didn't want to carry anything. So we see that based on the calculation, each person was capable of carrying 120 sa'ah, we could learn that this cluster of grapes must have weighed 960 sa'ah. Wow, because 8 people are able to carry it, so right, 8 times that, 120, comes out to 960. That is an incredible amount of how massive that is, the cluster of grapes they must have carried. That's what probably were able to convince them that it was for giants. Some say, why did Yeshua Bekalev not carry it? Because they were the most distinguished amongst the spies, so it was not befitting of such a chashiv of people to carry this to carry this thing. Told me once that I think Rav Avadia either told him or he heard from Rav Avadia's kids. I think he was in yeshiva with Rav Avadia's kids of Hebron, that his father was like crying once when he saw Rav Neventzel taking out the garbage. I guess he knew Rav Neventzel's godless and already from a younger age at that point. And he's saying they're allowing a walking Sefer Torah to take out the garbage, which is a fascinating thing. Anyway, so it was beneath their kavod to carry them. That was the first answer. Or give another answer. Because they realized that the whole reason that the spies had intended to take samples of the fruit, they had intentions to do lashon hara about Eretz Yisrael. So that was something which they obviously did not want to participate. Note should be noted though that even with that, the Moshe Rabbeinu had told the spies to take some of the prior arts, to go take from the prior arts, and then so. Moshe Ben had told it, but they immediately, when they were in Eretz Yisrael, Yoshua and Kalev realized the reason they wanted to do it, and that was something which they did not want to be part of. The Gemara says, "Pligi ba Rabbi Ami Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka." Chad Amar LeDiver Rabbi Yehuda, that according to Rabbi Yehuda understands that the water rose up only the height of 12 mil, turning onto Lama Dalam Abeis Kechaneyasa Navaru, that they crossed the Arad in the same formation as the Machane Yisrael looked. That's what we pointed out already. That's we're mentioning it. Now we're mentioning that. Because you understand that the entire width of the Machane entered the Yarden at the same time. So therefore, you must have understood that it was in their formation. No, they did it in a line. They were a single file, one after the other. Each shave it one at a time. And that would understand that the height was 300 mil, because if they did it as the way Rabbi Yehuda says, it didn't need to get to such a high level. But if it's the way Rabbi Shimon understands that they were one after the other, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon rather, so then, in the end of the Yoma coming up, like Boomer, right? The Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon. So then it must be that they were one after the other. Chadamar bin Mar, Mar bin Mar, and that both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon agree. Kachanas and Avra. No, even Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon would agree that they went as their machane had gone. Mar Savar Adam Kal, Mar Savar Mayim Kal. Rabbi Yehuda understands that the person is quicker, and therefore, or at least as quick as the water. So therefore, it doesn't mean that it's the current of a normal river, but in this case, the Yarden was the same pace as the people were able to walk at that pace. But Marsa Ramayim Kalim, whereas Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon understand that the water was quicker than the people. It was much quicker, and therefore it had to be done where it was 300 mil in the air. Shlach Lecha Anoshim. So now, once we mentioned the idea of the spies, now we're going back to the psukim about the spies. Amar Shlachish, Shlach Lecha Midascha. You should send for yourself implies by your decision and not by my might commanding you to. Moshe Akash Baruch, who says, I never really commanded you. Lecha. V'chi Adam Zebora Chelek Ra La'atvo. So, but then the Gemara asks, so Moshe Rabbeinu would choose a bad Chelek for himself by listening to Hashem. Meaning, why is it that listening to Hashem, Shlach Lecha, is going to be something which led to bad? Rather, the sending of the spies was bad, a very bad thing, which is the root of all punishments, because that was the Leil Tisha B'Av. Atem b'chiyisem b'china l'china maniv, and I'm going to make you chayav b'chiyel adoros. So it was a very bad thing that happened from this. So v'ayinu d'chsev, v'ayita b'einai adavar. The pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu thought it was a good idea. However, Amar Shlakish b'einai v'lemni amakom. Moshe Rabbeinu thought it was good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not think it was good. So right, whether Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest Navi of all Nevi'im, couldn't realize that this was not something HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, that Hashem didn't want this to be done. So it seems to me that Moshe Rabbeinu also thought, so the Rishonim explain it, that Moshe also thought that this was a bad idea, but he thought that a lot of times a person will say, this is often what happens actually, a person, you're like buying a car, let's say, so you ask a guy, can I take a test drive? And you see how confident he is, he immediately throws you the keys. So then you see how confident he is in his product, and you'll say, no, never mind, I'm just going to buy it anyway. So, because you know that a person who's so confident and shows you something, willing to show you something, you don't even need to check it out. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing over here. He didn't think it was a good idea to send the spies. He was saying immediately, yeah, go check, I have no problem. Because he was saying that he was supposed to, he thought they would realize that Eretz Yisrael is amazing. They'll say, oh, never mind, we don't need to. And but that unfortunately didn't happen, and that's what led to the spies' Avera. So then continuing the psukim about the spies, it says that they're going to, they're going to spy the land for us. They weren't looking for the good parts of Eretz Yisrael, they're looking for the bad parts of Eretz Yisrael. So that was, from the beginning, they had bad intentions. The pasuk says over here, "Vayachperu," they're going to spy the land. So over there, the moon is going to, and the sun are going to be ashamed. Why? Because the people did avodah zarah; they were objects of avodah zarah. They didn't want to be like that. So we see that Kal Yisrael is vayachperu. That's telling us a lesson of shame. So they wanted literally the shaming parts of Eretz Yisrael. They were coming to shame Eretz Yisrael. And right, Matar Shimon Shavat Bechori, etc., etc., all the names of the 12 people who went out to spy for Klal Yisrael. Amar B'Yitzchak, Davarzeh Mesoros B'Dinim Avosenu, we have a tradition from our fathers, Meraglim Al-Shem HaSem Nikra, that each of them, I was wondering, it's like, that was the Siyata D'Shemaya, that their names ended up being a remiss to these Inyanim, or that the Torah is calling them like a nickname that wasn't actually their name, that was Meramez on what they did. I'm not sure. But Anu Lo'asav, I think we're the first one. We don't have a Masorah. We only know about one of them. What's the first one? At least the very first one, that the name is a person's essence. So here, we see that his name was going to be the nature that he had. Sesur ben Michael. He was called Sesur ben Michael. Sesur, Shesasar, Maisel, Shagash, Baruch Hu. He denied Sesar, Listor. Maisel, Listor, is to deny. It's coming to show the opposite of Akash, Baruch Hu. The opposite of what Hashem wanted. He affected the will of it. The will of Hashem, he said he didn't think that was correct, the way that they wanted them to go to Israel, and he disagreed. Michal Michal is because he made a Kodesh Baruch Hu Kilu as weak, that he can't help them take them into Eretz Yisrael. Now we can have another Joshua from one of the names. Nachbi ben Vafsi. Nachbi ben Vafsi was Shevet Naphtali, Nachbi ben Vafsi. Nachbi shechbi devarav shakash baruch hu. He hid what the actual Ratzon of Hashem was. And Vafsi shepisa midos of shakash baruch hu. That he pisa, lifsot, is to posea. Shmeya Sarifin is to walk over. He passed over the midos of shakash baruch hu. Again, ignoring the Ratzon of Hashem. Vayalu benega vayavo in chevron. It says vayalu in the parol. Then always says vayavo in lashon yachid. It should say vayavo mi bayalu, the Gemara points out. It should say they arrived in the parol. Why is there Vayavo? Only one person coming there in the singular. Kalev wanted to leave the Eitzah of the Meraglim. And he went, this is the source I forgot, this Mamish on the staff when I was quoting yesterday, that Diva davening to Malachim, and then I mentioned a similar problem comes out when it comes to davening by a kever. So we see, and this is the source of Chazal that it's beferish, that there's a very big maila to go daven by the Kvarim of Tzadikin. Amar Lahen, Avoyisai, Big Shalai Racham, he says, My dear fathers, Tata Nimla, I'm referring to the Kosh Baruch, I'm referring to my fathers, meaning my Avos. The Avos HaKadoshim, Bikshal Rachamim, please have mercy for me, Shanatzel Me'atzos Meraglim, that I should be saved from the Eitzah of the Meraglim. And over here, again, this is a very, very big topic, but I'm trying to get into it. I heard a whole shir about it once, actually, on Shabbos morning. Not the special, I'm saying it on a Shabbos morning, I remember it was very long. It was a Gishmak Hashir. But anyway, so just to go through some of the points, that I remember something I don't always remember, but the idea that, again, we see Beferish over here, that the Shechina is in the Mekomos HaKadoshim. If you look at the Zohar, it's like they're low mace. That's a lot of big inyanim about going to Kever of Tzadik and Yom of Lag BaOmer and Kever of Rashbi. So that is obviously a big thing. But when one is davening there, so we should realize that he's davening in the Schus of the dead person, and not that he's davening directly to the dead person. That he's not directly discussing to the dead person. Although it seems over here that Kalev was directly addressing the Avos, so that's what they point out. But he wasn't asking them to intercede. He was saying that he was just telling them what exactly to do, what was going on. So someone explained that even that's a problem. So they'll explain this differently. They'll say to try to ask the Niftar to intercede in their behalf. Even that is usher. That's the more machmir opinion. I don't think the minigol one. I don't think it's like that one. But the more machmir would be that even to tell them that is usher, to have them be a melee tiosher for you in Shemayim, even that is usher according to some achronim. They understand that over here he was just informing them of all the taras that he had, and he was hoping that they on their own are going to be the melee tiosher and be interceding on his behalf. on their own behalf, maybe their own children, kilu, meaning right, Kalev is all, they're all children, obviously Yaakov. So therefore, that's what's going on over here. Another fascinating point, that was one issue. Another big issue is over here. We have the concept of Hakol Bidei Shemayim, Chutz Mimei Shemayim. The famous Gemara in Brachos tells us that everything comes from Hashem except for fear of Hashem. So what is Kalev asking? He's asking to fear Hashem, but that's something I thought was not in control. So they explain over here, Ben Yehuda and others explain a very nice idea that even to ask for Yir Shemayim, that is a big thing. Because asking for Yir Shemayim Be'etzem is saying that Habala Tarmasayim, like you're asking Hashem Baruch Hu to help you go on the right path. That, of course, one can daven for. And is encouraged to daven for. And that's not the dictum of Hakol Midei Shemayim Chutz Mir Shemayim. That would not be in this category. Here, you're asking Hashem to help you, to help you have Yir Shemayim. So now the Gemara says, but why was Yehoshua not there? That was Kalev Yehoshua Kfar Bikesh Moshe Lavracham, because Moshe Rabbeinu gave him a bracha Shenemar Vayikra Moshe Yehoshua Binyan Yehoshua, that was extra Yod Ka Yosef Matzvah Kach Baruch Hu should save you from, he got a bracha from Moshe Rabbeinu. Interesting thing. So why is that an answer though? So, okay, so you got a bracha from a big tzaddik that you should be matzliach. So you don't want to try to get more zechusim by going to the Avos HaKadoshim. Like I was wondering why exactly does that answer the question? Why wouldn't he want to go to the holy place of the Kivrei Avos? Agad the Zohar says like the Pesach of Gan Eden is by the Maris Machpelah. Very big things about Maris Machpelah. But why is it? I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. If someone wants to give you an answer, I'd love to hear one. That Baruch Hashem actually got an answer to my previous question, and last time I asked. So here I'm asking it. The person has an answer to me. Why is it that Yehoshua would dafka not go because he got a bracha from Moshe? Okay, Adrava, go. You got a bracha from Moshe, but you know, add to the schusim. And even if it wasn't for the bracha, Adrava, to go to the schus, to go to the avos, sakadoshim, why not? Okay, interesting. The Gemara says, Vayna dechsev, the pasuk says, by Avdi Kalev, Ekav Yasa Ruach Acharis Ima, because Kalev had a different ruach with him. Meaning that Kalev received Chevron because that was the land which he came to daven there, and he went alone there, and he went and it was Moser Nefesh to go there. That is why he had this chus of having the Eitz Acheres with him. And someone explained, the Arachai Makarish famously said that actually Ruach Acheres was the Yetzer Hara that caused the spies to sin. Kalev was not affected by that because he davened by the Kivrei Avos. We see how strong the Kachat Fila is in such a place. It has special kodesh to go above a person's nature even. V'shav Achiman sheshay v'tamay. In Chevron there was Achiman sheshay v'tamay. Right? B'nei Anak, the sons of giants. So the Gemara says, Achiman miyuman shebachim. Achiman, he was the most important of miyuman, is a question of importance. He was the most important of the brothers. That's how we're understanding it. Sheshay shemisham shemesham sa'arz b'shasasos. He would make the earth pits beneath his feet. Meaning, he was so heavy, his legs would sink into the ground wherever he walked. That's how heavy he was, how big of a giant he was. Talmei, Shemesim, Mesa'arz, Talamim, Talamim. Talmei is that he would make furrows in the ground when he walked. Again, showing how big he was when he was walking. Davar Acher, Achiman, Bana, Anas. He built Anas, Sheshai, Bana, Ulash, Talmei, Bana, Talbush, Yelidei Anak, Shemanikim, Chamim, Koman, because they made the sun look like a necklace. They were so tall that their heads seemed to be mamish next to Shemayim. When people look up at them, and look like they were wearing the sun as a necklace. The Chevron Shevan Nivnasa, the pasuk says, continuing Chevron was the 7 years Nivnasa before Tzor Mitzrayim. My Nivnasa, what is Lashon Nivnasa? Lachor Nivnasa means mamish, that it was built, like literally to be boneh. It was built before that, before Mitzrayim. Esher Adam boneh b'ayis Nivnasa, katana kodah gavara, gadol, rashi chometz kodah shasha, dechsev v'necham kush u'mitzrayim. The pasuk says that it was Uvnei Cham Kush Mitzrayim Put Uknan. Kanan is the youngest one. Mitzrayim was the older son. He wouldn't build the land for Kanan before he builds it for Mitzrayim. So what does that mean? So rather Ella Shaisa Muvne Alechan Meshiva Betzayan. Rather Nivnasa means that it was more fertile. It was better grounds than seven times more fertile than Tzon. So if that's the case, what was the chiddush about that? The Gemara says, "Ve'en lecha tarshim mechalitz zol yeser mecharon." There is no more stony area than Chevron. Mishum dekavre b'shchive. That's why people chose it as the burial plot. If it was a good land to have been fertile land, they obviously wouldn't have chosen that as a cemetery. They chose a cemetery because it must have been like the least fertile land. Ve'en lecha meula b'chalitz zol yeser meretz tzaim. And there is none amongst the better of the land in terms of its being fertile and having the ability to grow things as Mitzrayim, Shenemar Kigan Hashem Ke'aretz Mitzrayim, like the garden of Hashem, like the land of Mitzrayim, the comparison of the two. Ve'elecha mula b'chores Mitzrayim, yeser Mitzrayim. And Tzoyan is the best of the land of Tzoyan, d'chsev ki'hayu b'tzoyan sarav. It says over there that the officers of Klal Yisrael went to Tzoyan to look for Melech Mitzrayim. We see that Tzoyan must have been where the palace was, it must have been a chashuv place. This is talking about the time in Yeshayah where the Melech Yisrael sent officers to Paro to ask him to help the fight, the war against Ashur. So they met him there, and so on is where the Navi Yeshayahu was relating that they had met. Obviously, it's a chashuv place that they were meeting there. So that's what we see that telling us that how Eretz Yisrael was amazing. So here, that's the point. Rashi points out that sometimes you have to mention a little bit of emes in order to convince people of sheker. If you're just going to be kol kulo sheker, people will figure that out. But if you put in a shmek of emes into it, put a little bit of emes, some people are going to believe. So this is actually the praise of Eretz Yisrael that it was such a fertile land. So now the Gemara continues with Chevron Tarashim. Is it really true that Chevron was very stony and not a fertile land at all? I'm going to fulfill my neder that I made the Kadosh Baruch Hu b'Chevron. He went to bring lambs from Chevron for his korban because the best sheep were in Chevron. But Tanya, we learn in Abraisa that he brought them in the rams from Moab. That where would they bring the korbanos of the Mishamigdash? They would bring the rams from Moab and the kvasim, the lambs, they would bring from Chevron. So we see that there was very good pasture in Chevron. Tell me it was a terrible land. The Chor over here seems to indicate the opposite. It was a good pasture. So the Gemara says, Mina, that is the point. Really, I did a Kal She'ara. Since the soil there was very bad, it was very poor soil, Av the Raya, so then it's a good place for pasture. V'shamin kinyana, that the flocks would become very fat. They would be able to grow a lot because at the end of the day, it was very poor fields that people didn't bother to grow. So therefore, it would have a lot of grass growing there. They wouldn't bother cultivating it. So therefore, it grew a lot of grass, in which case it was good for pasture. Ayashu mitora aretz, the pasuk says they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, turning on to Lamed Heber Aleph. Vayelchu vayavau. So they went and they came to Moshe and Aaron. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Lula is coming up. Makish alich alabia. That they're going out is the same as they're coming. Mabia beitzara must have been that they're going out was with a terrible evil intention. Ah, falicha beitzara. So too, they're going in the first place. They set out with terrible intentions. That's a very famous question because Rashi and Chumash quotes akulam anashim, quoting the other Chazal, that anashim means that they were tzaddikim at the time when they left. Only later on. So at what point later on did they become corrupted? So someone explain that right after that point. They had become Rishayim. Right after that point, before they even left, they became Rishayim. So I'm explaining because the idea is, we see Shlucho Shalom Kamosa, I'm like the person who sent me. So Klal Yisrael had bad intentions when sending them. When they asked this, this was not the right thing to be doing. So those people basically ended up becoming the Shlichim of the bad reports that they were dealing with. Okay, but Ezra Shem will pick up with Vayisap Lulo, Vayomer Banu, and Rez Hashem in tomorrow's stuff.